18:19. We'll turn this on. Are we on now? Proverbs 18, verse number 19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Proverbs 18:19. Let's read it together out loud, okay? Proverbs 18:19. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Proverbs 18:19. Do you have it memorized yet? Some of you probably have that memorized already. Let's try it again. Proverbs 18:19. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Proverbs 18:20. Now let me look tonight at the wall. You hear a lot about the wall, don't you? Or the barrier, or the bars. There's a lot of silly debate going on today about Trump's wall. Believe it or not, I've got a nephew that's in the military. He's a military pilot. I think he's in the Army. He trained to fly helicopters, and he was flying the fixed-wing airplanes, and I'm not sure what he's actually flying right now. He's flying something, probably flying his broom now. I don't know. But he was restationed to Arizona, to Fort, I'm not sure how to say this. John, what's Huachuca? There's no W in it. Well, that's not how I was going to pronounce it. It looks like Huachuca. Huachuca. Who? That's Huachuca, Arizona, which is literally, you could probably see the Mexican border from where he is. He actually sent me a text. We were in a conversation because he's doing some deer hunting down there, and he wanted some advice on something spiritual. He's one of my favorite nephews because his name is Grant Rocky, almost like Garrett Rocky. I was kind of joking with him. "So you're down there building the wall or what?" It kind of surprised me when he said that actually, all the way along the whole border of Arizona and Mexico, there already is a wall. People don't talk about it, but it's already there. The state has put it up there. It's a barricade, a metal barricade, like not really a Lego wall or a concrete wall, but it's a wall that you can't get by that wall unless you dig or whatever around it. As far as he knows, it goes across the whole state line of Mexico and Arizona. But anyways, I'm not much concerned about that wall, but there's walls or bars that I'm more concerned about, and I see them constantly. And they're spiritual walls, emotional walls. The brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. A strong city is one that has a strong wall. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. The bars that I face as preacher, not the bars that people go into to drink, and I'm concerned about those, but not near as bad as the bars that this proverb is talking about. Well, let's look at that verse tonight. First of all, we got some bullet points on your outline. You like them? What caliber are those bullet points? You can guess, I guess. But first of all, offenses will come. A brother offended, the verse starts out with. A brother that's offended. Even Jesus offended people. Did you catch that? Don't think you're going to get through this life without offending people. Jesus was the only perfect one that's ever walked this earth. Believe it or not. Alex and Bethany is not your husband and wife. You figured that out yet? I give them a hard time. Newlywed sitting right up front. You know they're going to get it every once in a while. There's no perfect one other than Jesus, and even he offended people. Now, the statement that I put in here, I'm going to try to remember what statement. In fact, I've got a handout here I'm going to put up here so I remember what I need to give you to fill in the blanks there. And I hope you're doing more than just filling in the blanks here and thinking, well, there it is. I hope you're getting some things out of the lesson tonight. A Christian should never be offended, but we often are. That's just a part of our sin nature. Psalm 119, verse 165. You can probably quote the verse. What's the verse say? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The emphasis ought to be on loving the law of God. If we love the law of God, we will not get offended. The problem is we fall out of love with the law of God. And we only have to fall out of love with the law of God for a couple of minutes and we can get offended. Well, what does it mean to be offended? I give this definition often, and I know I've preached on this, I've studied it, and this is a word that I always remember, the definition that I came up with in studying the word offended. By the way, we use the word offended in ways that we should not today. We use the word offended many times when we should be using the word grieved. I've grieved at something. But to be offended means to be grieved to the point of, does anybody know what goes in that blank? Quitting. Grieved to the point of quitting. I'm going to pick up my toys and I'm going to go home. I quit. You know, it used to be adults could get in a conversation, they could talk about things without getting offended. Adults. Now, children get offended at everything, and they want to quit. And they, you know, you work in the nursery or you walk with little kids, they get upset. They want to pick up their little toys and go somewhere else. So they get, they want to quit. This is not a surprise to anybody, but I enjoy watching sport. Doesn't matter what sport it is. If it's a good game, I like to watch it, I guess. But I don't necessarily follow any team in any sports, but I know some people do. I just like a good competition. And I like this about sports, what we call sportsmanship. I liked it the other day when I saw a guy carrying a football and somebody from the other team came and just rung his bell. And I mean, knocked him flat on his back, and he got up, and at first glance, it looked like he was getting up ready to fight. But instead, he got up and gave the guy a bear hug and a pat in the back, and you could just read his lips. That was a great tackle. That's the way the game ought to be played. I like to see that sportsmanship. That's something that I guess that kind of runs in my family. My brother, I mentioned him already, was a coach, and we were talking about that when last time I saw him, and he was told when he took over the basketball team that this, you'll never have a good team. And don't ever tell somebody in my family you can never do something. Because he not only within 10 years had a good team, but he took that team downstate three different times. I don't think he ever won the state tournament, but he was down there, I think, three different times and placed in the top four. But each time his team got the sportsmanship award. Because the testimony, I guess you would say, as far as sports is concerned, the attitude that they played with. I used to take my boys to go watch some of the games, and I would point out to them the difference between a winner and a whiner. A whiner complains about the referee, they have an excuse for everything. But a winner just plays the game. Gets up and brushes himself off. I remember seeing that in my brother. And I kind of reminded him of this when I was a kid. I used to go watch him. He was a few years older than me. And I go watch him play basketball. And back then, they didn't have a three-point shot. He would shoot from, when he got mad at the referee, you could see the look in his eye. He was mad at the referee, but he didn't take it out on the referee. You just saw that look in his eye, and the team knew, give him the ball. He's good for 6 points right now while he's mad. He's going to go down there. He's going to go in the corner. He's going to shoot a jump shot, and it's going to go right in. And he'll do that three times. You could count him every time. And we just hoped that the referee would make a bad call on him because that was the reaction that he had. And the coach was, hey, if you're going to make a bad call, make it on this guy. Get him upset. But there's a difference between a winner and a whiner. But I don't know. I don't want to spend all my time on that. But we're talking about getting offended. Good sportsmanship. Not quitting. Offenses will come And then I want to mention this. Family members should never be offended, but we often are. I think of when my grandmother passed away, which was shortly after my wife and I got married. When I got saved, I tried to witness to my grandmother. That's my dad's mother. She was already in a nursing home. She was beginning to lose her mind. And I would go try to talk to her about the Lord. She wanted nothing to do with that. And the only thing she could think of was the only thing she lived for is money. And I couldn't get her to even think about the Lord or eternity when I tried to witness to her. But then she passed away a few years later. And I remember, and I didn't know all was going on at the time, but one of my aunts, my dad's sister, got upset because when they were going through grandma's things, there was something that she wanted. I don't know what it was, some little knickknack or something, and she got upset because that went to another sister instead of her. And literally, she did not speak to anybody in the family for 20 years. Can you imagine that? Happens all the time. And I'm amazed at the things that people get offended at. And I see it all the time. And that's the closest it's been in my family, other than my wife and I are offended at each other all the time. No, I'm just kidding. And you think of this. Who are you hurting when you're offended at someone? Who am I hurting? I'm not, that's like mixing up a magic formula of poison and drink. And I'm offended at Jacob. So I'm going to mix up some poison, and then I'm going to drink it in front of him. Doesn't hurt him a bit. He could care less. But that's offenses will come. And offenses, and I need to move on here because I need to get the second part of the verse, but I want to emphasize tonight. Offenses lead to contention. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Offenses lead to contention. Some will often say, well, what about Barnabas and Saul? Barnabas and Paul, what about that? Were they sinless saints? They struggled with a sin nature just like you and I do. And they got offended at each other. The contention was so great that they parted company. They got upset. Well, you don't want to take John Mark, and I want to take Mark. Well, you want to take him, and I don't want to take him. Let's go our own way. And they got offended to the point where they're going to quit. They were break off their relationship. And the contention was so great. They struggled with the same flesh that you and I. And by the way, they later got over it. The Scripture points out that they got over it. How long it took, I don't know. I know how long it should have taken to get over it. That's what we're going to look at next, is get over it. And we've got something that goes in the parentheses there. Not only get over it, the way we got to get over it is realize, if I've got a problem with somebody, it's a problem with me. And to get over it, we ought to put, and we really ought to word it this, and I put this in parentheses, get over yourself. Get over your pride. Only by pride cometh contention. How long should I be angry? How long am I allowed to be angry? How long am I allowed to have contention? To be offended about somebody? Somebody says, well, I want to spend a week sulking. I want to spend the next month. Some folks spend the whole year. Some folks spend their lifetime sulking, upset, offended about somebody. How long am I allowed? Now, all of us get offended, but we need to get over it. How much time does it take to get over it? Not like grieving. Sometimes grieving takes some time. It might take a week. Might take a month. It takes more than a year. We might have some things that we need to deal with. But offenses shouldn't last that long. Ephesians 4 and verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the, what? Sun go down on your wrath. How long does it take to get over? Well, we're right with God until sundown. Before sundown, you better be out of town, buckwheat. You ought to be done by sundown. You know, I every once in a while, there's even people in this room that have come to me, and I'm never sure how to respond to this. You know, some people feel uncomfortable when you give them gifts in public. Well, I'm kind of that way too, but you're never sure how you're supposed to respond, you know, especially when you know it's coming. You still, oh, I so thrilled, I didn't know it. I knew it was coming. And how do you hide that? How do you show those? How do you respond to certain things? I'm never sure how to respond when somebody comes up, and some folks here have done it. Pastor, would you forgive me? I did such and such. Will you forgive me? I had a bad attitude. I'm never sure how to respond to that. Because if I didn't know about it, I really don't care to know about it. And if I did know about it, I done forgave you a long time ago. Or I would have been out of the ministry a longer time ago. And I see those walls. I see the offense on people's face. And before I go to bed at night, I got to forgive. I got to get over it. I got to get past it. It's already done. It's dealt with. I appreciate you, Father, but I'm really not sure exactly what you want. Do I give you one of these, or say 25 Hail Marys, or how do I respond to that? I don't mean to make light of that, but to be quite honest, I'm just not sure how to respond because I see the importance in the Scripture to before the sun goes down, it needs to be dealt with. You need to get past it before that time, or your head, or if it's not dealt with, the walls go up. And that's what I want to get to next. When the walls go up. And I'll say this, that they go up after sunset. The construction crew that builds the bars and the walls only works the night shift. It starts at nighttime. It starts as soon as that sun goes down. And I've not gotten over it. I've not forgiven. I'm still offended. I'm still upset. And now the proverb is really dealing with a brother that's offended. Once it gets past the sunset, once it gets past that point, what do? They're harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. What do I do when the walls go up? And let me say this. Sometimes I come in here not real often. I try to do it late at night so I know nobody's going to come in here. Sometimes I get up here and practice preaching. Not very much. You can tell I haven't practiced very much because I'm not real good at it. But sometimes I get up and practice preaching. And you know, when it's completely empty in here, because I like it then because I'm only looking at three walls. When there's more people in here, I'm looking at more than three walls. I'm looking sometimes at folks like this. I'm looking at folks that never give me the time of day. They never look at me. Could care less about anything I say. There's a wall. And it's plain to see that there's a wall there. The light's on. The light's not even on sometimes. There's just a wall. I don't care what you say. Anything you say can and will be used against you. In the court of my offense. But the sun sets and the walls begin. It happens in friendship. It happens in marriage. It happens in family. It happens at work. It happens at church. It's seen, by the way, in our countenance. It's seen in our conversation, our conduct, how we conduct ourselves. It's clearly seen by many people. Sometimes it's not seen by the one who built the wall or had the wall built in front of them, but it's seen by everyone else. Years ago, we started putting, when we got a website? Jeff built the website. I don't understand how you build something without a hammer and screwdrivers. I just don't get that. I didn't build anything. That's like when I listen to sports announcers, when I listen to a baseball game, they talk about a pitcher. He worked for five innings. No, he pitched a baseball for five innings. That's not work. That's a game. But anyway, that's just the way my mind works. But we started when Jeff built the website. I guess Nick actually built it. Jeff has the one that he built now. I went to a meeting with Brother Hamilton, attorney Terry Hamilton. try to say attorney and Terry at the same time, it comes out Tony. But Terry Hamilton, and he gave us warning about putting your messages out where anybody can get at them. They might come in the wrong hands. The fear of the wrong, and he's been involved in lawsuits. He gave us some illustrations of people that have been involved in a lawsuit because they said something maybe about, the one of them I remember is about training your children, disciplining your children. And he was drug into court because he endorsed spanking your children in public. And it was used against him in the court of law, literally. And took him years to get out of that battle. And then he said, and beside that, you might have some disgruntled members that might listen to your messages online to find things they can misquote you. And I thought to myself, well, if they would have listened while they were here, that might have not been disgruntled members. I don't know. But I saw a long time ago when that wall, when that bar came up. And you know how it is when someone's offended. It doesn't matter what you say, it's wrong. It's like the Democrats talking to the Republicans and the Republicans talking to the Democrats. It's like Fox News talking to CNN. Doesn't matter what they say, it's wrong. There's just, you're not going to hear a thing that the other side says because we've been offended. And that wall has come up. Now, I want to say this. There's many reasons walls go up. And notice I put in quotations, reasons. Excuses is maybe what we should put. Many reasons. And I would say this, most walls that we're talking about here are completely unnecessary. Walls of fear or perceived fear or real fear. Walls of sin, walls of conviction, walls of being overprotective. When I was reading yesterday or the day before through the book of Proverbs, I came to Proverbs chapter 6, and I thought, boy, this verse goes right along with what we're saying. Chapter number 6 in Proverbs is concerning, talking about a man who committed adultery with his neighbor's wife. I'm just laying the groundwork here for the verse I want to look at. And then that neighbor who had his other neighbor commit adultery with his wife says, "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither till he rest content, though thou givest many gifts." You can give him all you want, but you're not going to say, and justly so. That man was angry because a neighbor abused his wife, literally. And there's no gifts that we can give that would appease that anger. But sometimes people are offended and a Christian should never be offended at another Christian. A family member should never be offended at another family member to the point where it goes beyond the end of the sunset, the end of the day, or those walls immediately start to be built. The devil's got a good work crew to build those walls fast, too. I'm going to get to this. When we think we put up one wall, we also put up another wall, and that wall separates us from God. We think we just put up a wall between that me and that person that we've been offended with, but in reality, we put up another wall, and that wall is between me and God. In other words, my relationship cannot be right with God if I'm offended at someone. And the joy that flees behind that wall. I see in a folk's face and they're offended at the preacher, offended at somebody else. They just, you can see it all written all over them as if they have neon flashing lights on their forehead. But what do I do when that person is offended? And I don't mean to say I'm the only one. Well, all of us have had people that are offended, and you know they're offended. They don't speak to you. They don't look at you. They don't talk to you. How do I reach that person? What can I do? And again, our proverb says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like bars of a castle. In the few minutes we got left, I'm going to give you something that I think will help, that's helped me. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it's you're not going to get anywhere. I want you to understand the last bullet point there is God's grace topples walls. God's grace is the only thing that can topple that wall. Remember what grace is? I guess I have it written down there. Grace is God This is a definition I like to use for grace. There are other good definitions, but I like this one. God doing in and through me what is humanly impossible. I'd like to break through those bars. I'd like to break through that wall, but I can't do it. It is physically, humanly impossible for me to do it. But God can do it. God can do anything. God's grace can do what I cannot do. I liken it to the walls of Jericho. Those walls, we're never going to get through. But God said, I tell you what, you just march around those walls and see what happens. And you know the story. We won't go into that story. We're out of time. God took the walls of Jericho down. God can break down those walls. Notice, first of all, I want to take time to go here, but I don't think we're going to have time. The bars are broken by God's grace. The bars of the walls are broken by God's grace. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse 8 and 9, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we can read through that. I'm going to do a study on that whole chapter, but let me just give you one verse. I want to say it's about verse number 14 or 15 or 16, somewhere about toward the latter part of that chapter. And I'm not going to take time to turn there right now, but the section of the verse says, "And he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." God, when he saved us, broke that wall, that partition that separates me from God. Only God's grace can do that. And the rest of that chapter talks about how that we are all in literally one room now. We're all in one family. We're all together now. There's no reason there should ever be a wall between any of us now because of God's grace. And if we're in tune with God's grace, that wall that separates me, that I build, that I allow to be built between me and my brother, me and Garrett, I'm offended at him right now, I build that wall there, there's also a wall over here that separates me from fellowship with God. And if I allow God's grace to break that wall down, then God's grace will take this wall down. And that fellowship is broken when I am offended, when I'm in that situation. The bars are broken by God's grace. Secondly, the next thing there is bars are broken, and this is more the direction that this proverb is focusing on. A brother offended. Well, what do I do for that brother that's offended? The bars that are broken, the bars or the walls are broken by Christian graciousness. That's my part. By walking in God's grace and showing Christian graciousness. By being gracious. I may not have built that wall between my brother and I, but I don't want to help fortify that wall. I don't want to make it stronger than it needs to be. God's grace is the only thing that can take that wall down. So instead of shooting bullets and bombs and missiles at that wall, I'm going to be as gracious as I can toward that wall. Now, I can't get to that person. I'm looking at Garrett, and I'm offended at him. He's offended at me. And no, I'm just using him because he's sitting up front. I get to make fun of him, right? I use him for an illustration. And I can't get to Garrett because there's a wall between us. There's bars between. And by the way, I can see through bars. I just can't get through them. I can see him, but I just can't get to him because those bars. So what I'm going to do, instead of, shooting or throwing rocks through the bars or shooting at him, tripping over the carpet, I'm going to just shower that wall with grace. And maybe some of that will get through. Well, how do I do that? Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." I like that. Not just as children, but as dear children. Loving children. Kind, gracious children. "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering for a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor." Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9 says, "Blessed are the," what? "Peacemakers." And I like the second half of that verse. I don't think I put that on your sheet. I'm not sure where I'm at here on the sheet. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." They're the ones that God delights in, the peacemakers, those that show Christian graciousness. We could just summarize it that way. And then quickly, I'm going to give you three things here of how to show Christian grace and graciousness. First of all, forgiveness is the key that opens the gate of any fortress. Forgiveness is the key that opens the gate. The bar's got to have a gate somewhere. And forgiveness is the key that opens that gate. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew 18, of course, the parable is told there of a man that was forgiven much and from his master, and then he refused to forgive his fellow servant. In the end of that parable, Jesus says, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee, as his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you also, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Not just forgive, but forgive from the heart. If I've forgiven from the heart, it doesn't affect my heart anymore. But to see that person, to love on that person, to be kind to that person. Forgiveness is the key to fully forgive someone. And I've learned much in forgiveness in the last 30 years, but I feel that I've just scratched the surface of what it truly means to forgive someone. And to fully understand what it means to forgive. Forgiveness is a key that opens the gate of the fortress. Secondly, the prayer closet is a place that we can step back and see the bigger picture. I go to the prayer closet. And again, you see folks that are offended at you. Jesus saw folks that are offended at Him, and He certainly forgave them. They crucified Him. What a picture He gives us there. I'll gladly lose a battle. I'll take the blame. I'll take the wrong, as the Apostle Paul says, as a spiritual mature one ought to, if it helps win the soul, the war of the souls for men. The prayer closet is a place where we see beyond ourselves. We see beyond our pettiness and the things that upset us. And I'm talking about where you get a hold of God. I hope you have a prayer closet relationship where you can get a hold of God and you reach the very throne of God and you speak to Him and He speaks to you. And then this is a big one. The last thing there God's grace that topples offenses, meditation on God's Word, specifically God's law, shows me how to deal with my sin. Now, I can't deal with that person's sin. I apologize to them. They won't hear the apology. If I don't apologize to them, they will. They won't. No matter what I do, it's wrong. I've offended them. I'm not going to get through that. All I can do is forgive them as I would want them to forgive me. I can pray for them and see the bigger picture. Maybe God will show me some things that I can improve on my... He will. And especially if I meditate on God's law. Because meditation on God's law helps me to see my sin. And that's why God specifically says to meditate on the law of God. Because the law of God points out my sin. If I'm concerned about my sin, I can do something. When I deal with my sin, the bars of contention that separate me from others come down. Because you know what our natural state is? What we naturally do, I know you filled in the last blank, so you're putting everything together now and closing everything up, but let me give you one statement that's very important. If I'm not meditating on the law of God, I'm meditating on something else. That's having the exact opposite effect of meditating on God's law is. You know, meditate is run something through your mind. Think things through. And I'm not meditating on the law of God. I'm thinking about what could have been done, what should have been done, what I should have done, what they should have done, and how we could have handled this, what will I do next time? If I meditate on the past or present events or the situation, my feelings or their feelings, the hurts, their sin or whatever, or my understanding of things, it only gives me material to keep building that wall. Did you catch that? That only adds more to the wall. But if I'm meditating on the Word of God, God shows me things in my life, how sinful I am, how wrong I am. I realize how Jesus has forgiven me. Wow, I can forgive anyone. And I can love on them, even though it means preaching to a wall sometimes, talking to a wall, and calling someone up and just getting, even though they're talking, you're just getting a busy signal. You know? And not that you need to keep bombarding, but just be kind as you can and love and forgive. A brother offended is harder to be won. The most difficult thing in the world. And certainly, I've given reason for folks to be offended. If I've offended you, I probably offended you tonight. I don't know. Forgive me before the sun comes up, before the building crew comes and starts building the wall, all right? But a brother that's offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And, you know, I can go to listen to the psychology and read all the books and do this and that and follow step A, B, C, and D, or I can just realize there's nothing I can do. God's got to do it. And I'm just going to do my best to seek Him and forgive where it needs to be forgiven. That's all. I can't control their heart. I can only control my heart. And I can certainly pray and see the bigger picture. To see there's, you know, the world doesn't revolve around me as much as my flesh wants me to think it does. And meditate on God's law. See my sinfulness in the law of God. And the only hope I can have of helping anybody is making sure I'm right with God. You get that? A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and the contentions are like the bars of a castle. Father, we pray.